Several years ago, the NFB of Illinois started a tradition which we call Braille is Beautiful, which consists of giving Braille readers the chance to read dramatically, to read a script, and really to demonstrate that Braille is not laborious and boring and struggle, but that Braille can be read with fun and verve and joy, and that it really can enrich our lives in multiple ways. So when we do Braille is Beautiful, we choose a script and parts are assigned and your fellow Federationists suddenly become new people. So what we're going to read this morning is, it's a very old play, which I've adapted to fit into our allotted time slot, and it's called The Imaginary Invalid. It was written by a French duke in the late 17th century. So it was first performed in 1673 in Paris. And in some ways, it's very modern play. It's about healthcare. And since that's in the news a lot, Molière was looking at some things 300 years ago that we're sort of still struggling with. So I'm going to ask the cast to introduce themselves, starting with the folks up at the head table. And then there are some of us that are sort of overflowing onto a table down here, and we can introduce ourselves later. So each person will say their name and the part that they are going to read, beginning up at the end, closest to the stairs.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Anthony Thomas. I'm going to be reading the part of Argon.
This is Michael Pickerel, and I'm going to be playing the part of Louis. Louis, sorry.
Yes.
This is Hannah, and I'm going to be playing the part of Angelique.
This is Denise, and I'm going to be playing the part of Dr. Pergon.
This is Ryan Kwok playing the role of Thomas DeForius.
This is Pam Gilmore, and I'm playing the part of the beloved wife of Argon, Belene.
This is Anil Lewis. I'm playing the part of Cleon.
This is Karen Anderson, and I'm playing the role of Toinette.
Debbie Pittman, and I'm playing the part of Mr. Bonfoy.
I am Diana Criaccia. Wait, hold on, the microphone's not towards me. I am Diana Criaccia, and I'm playing the part of Mr. Florent.
I'm Alexa Schweikow, and I'm playing the annoying brother of Argon Barrage.
I am Bill Reif, and I am playing the wealthy Dr. DeForius.
One purgative. Sorry. One purgative, rhubarb and tincture of antimony, 15 sous. A sleeping draught, 35 sous. Toinette, take these papers away. Toinette? Confound it, where are you?
Ow! You rushed me so much I knocked my head on the doorframe.
You made me shout till my throat was sore.
Ow!
Can't I even have the pleasure of scolding you?
If you can scold, I can cry. Ow! Ow!
No, never mind. Take away these papers.
You're a nice cash cow for your druggist and doctor. I'd love to know what they're treating you for.
Hold your tongue, you wretch. Ask my daughter, Angelique, to come in.
Here she is now.
Angelique, I want to talk to you.
What is it, Papa?
Wait a moment. I'll be right back.
Toinette, I want to talk to you.
About him, right?
Do you think he loves me as much as he says?
You never can tell. I've met some pretty good actors.
You mean he might not be telling the truth?
He'll prove it if he asks for your hand in marriage.
I must obey you in everything, Father.
Angelique, guess what? A suitor has proposed to you. You're smiling. It looks like you accept.
You will, Father. I mean,
I must obey.
I must obey you in everything, Father.
It's all settled then. My wife, your stepmother, wanted me to make a nun out of you. She won't consent to this marriage, but I've given my word.
It's the wisest thing you've ever done.
I haven't met the gentleman, but I'm told I like him very much.
Oh, you will, Father.
You've met him then?
Actually, we met 6 days ago.
That's wonderful.
They say
he's a tall, handsome fellow.
Oh, he is.
And he knows Latin and Greek.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And in 3 days, he will become a doctor.
He will?
Didn't he tell you?
No. Where did you hear that, Father?
From his uncle, Dr. Pergon.
Cliente is Dr. Pergon's nephew.
Who's Cliente? We're talking about your future husband, Thomas. He's the son of Dr. Pergon's cousin, Dr. DeForius. What's the matter?
You've been speaking of one person, and I've been talking about someone else.
Why do you want your daughter to marry a doctor?
I'm a sick man. I want my prescriptions in easy reach.
But your daughter's fine. She doesn't need Dr. DeForest or his son or all the DeForests in the world.
I need them. Besides, Thomas is his father's only heir, and Dr. Pergon, who has no children, is worth 8,000 francs a year.
He must have killed a lot of people to get so rich.
Say what you like. I'll make good on my promise.
Angelique will never consent.
She will. Or I'll shut her up in a convent.
You're too kind-hearted to do such a thing.
I am not kind-hearted. Everybody knows how ill-natured I am.
Don't get excited. You're a sick man.
Angelique, I command you to take the husband I choose.
Angelique, I forbid you to do any such thing.
What right do you have? A mere servant to speak to your master this way.
When my master doesn't think clearly, a good servant has to set him straight.
I'm done for. I have no respect in my own house. It's enough to kill me. Come in here, my dear wife.
What's wrong, darling?
That Toinette dares. See, I'm not ill.
Don't let her make you angry. I say, Toinette.
Madam.
Why do you upset my poor husband?
Why, what do you mean?
Ah, the deceitful girl.
He said he wished to marry Angelique to the son of Dr. DeForius. I told him he'd do better to put her in a convent.
No harm in that. I think she's right.
Do you really believe her?
Calm down, darling. Toinette, give me his fur cloak and some pillows. There. Pull down your nightcap, dear. Nothing gives people such bad colds as letting air in through the ears.
You take such good care of me, darling.
Raise up a little. I'll put a pillow under you.
And here's one to keep away the damp.
Don't touch me. You want to smother me. Get out of here.
Yes, sir. I'm going, sir.
She was just trying to help.
She's a wicked, wicked girl. You're my only comfort. And to repay you for your kindness, I plan to make out my will.
Don't even talk about it. I'll die at the thought of losing you.
Remember, I asked you to speak to the notary.
Actually, it just so happens he stopped by today. He's in the other room.
Call him in, then.
I can hardly bear to think about this, but all right, if you insist.
Have a seat, Mr. Bonfroy. I wish to make out my will.
I have to tell you, you can't leave anything to your wife.
Why not?
Against custom. The only way man and wife leave property to each other is to donate it while you're alive.
That's ridiculous. I'll have to consult my lawyer.
No. Don't get lawyers into this. All they do is mess things up and cause trouble. I'll smooth out the wrinkles for you.
How can I give my fortune to my wife and leave out my children?
I recommend that you give her substantial gifts during your lifetime. And in your will, bequest your property to a trusted friend who will give it to your wife.
If I lose you, I'll follow you to the grave.
Dearest, I'll do as the gentleman advises. I'll start by giving you 20,000 francs in gold. They're hidden in a secret drawer of my cupboard.
I want nothing to do with all of that. How much did you say?
20,000 francs.
Okay. Shall we draw up the will?
Let's go to my study. Help me up, my love.
Come on, darling. If we must, we must.
Shut up at the notary, and I heard something about a will. Your stepmother is hatching some conspiracy.
I'll let my father dispose of his money as he likes, as long as he doesn't dispose of my heart.
I'll do what I can to help you, but I'm going to have to change tactics. I'll pretend I side with your father and stepmother.
Please let Cleante know about this marriage they're planning.
I'll get a message to him.
Music.
Cue sheet four.
Cleante, what are you doing here?
I got your message. I must speak to Angelique.
They keep a very close watch on her.
I'm not here as Cleante. I'm a friend of her music teacher. He sent me in his place to give her her music lesson.
Here comes her father. Step outside and let me explain. A gentleman is here to see you, sir.
Lower your voice. I have a splitting headache.
A gentleman is here to see you, sir.
What?
A gentleman is here to see you, sir.
Why didn't you say so? Send him in.
Good morning, sir.
Don't speak so loud. You'll split his head open.
Sir, I'm delighted to see you looking so well.
What are you talking about? My master is always ill.
She's right.
He walks, sleeps, and eats like anyone else, but that doesn't mean he's healthy.
Sir, your daughter's music teacher had to go into the country. He asked me to continue with her lessons.
Very well. Very well, Toinette. Call Angelique.
Perhaps they can go to her sitting room? He can't give a lesson unless they're alone.
Of course he can.
With your headache, it will be too much for you.
I like music. Here comes Angelique now. Toinette, tell my wife to join us. Come in, daughter. Your music teacher is away, and this gentleman will give you your lesson.
Oh, heavens!
What's the matter?
It's such a coincidence. I dreamed I was in danger, and someone who looked like this gentleman came to my rescue.
If you were in danger, it would be my greatest pleasure to help you.
Dear Master, Dr. DeForest and his son are here. I've changed my mind. Thomas will be a wonderful husband. Make room. Here they are.
We come here, sir, to express our appreciation of this alliance between our families. Thomas, pay your, the microphone, We come here, sir, to express our appreciation of this alliance between our families. Thomas, pay your respects.
Should I start with the father?
Yes.
Sir, I come to salute, cherish, and revere you as a second father. You have chosen me, honored me, and privileged me to become a member of your most esteemed family.
Long live the colleges that send such clever people into the world.
Father, should I go on?
Certainly.
Madam, it is with justice that heaven has called you stepmother. We see in you steps towards the perfect beauty that...
That's not my... I'm sorry. That's my daughter, not my wife.
Where's your wife, then?
She'll be in a minute.
Should I wait, Father?
No. Give your compliments to the young lady.
Mademoiselle, I experience a sweet rapture in the presence of your beauty. As the flower called the heliotrope turns towards the sun, my heart will forever turn toward you.
Ah, what fine things one learns to say in school.
If he's a good doctor as he is an orator, his patients will live to be 100.
Doctor, what a fine son you have. Dr. DeForius, he isn't I'm sorry.
He isn't clever, but in our profession, that's no problem. With continual hammering, he has obtained his medical degree. He's very traditional in his approach. He has no patience with so-called modern discoveries, the circulation of the blood pumped by the heart. What nonsense.
I wrote a thesis against these circulation quacks. Mademoiselle, would you like to read it?
Never mind. I don't understand such things.
I can teach you. Come to one of our dissections.
No. See? Dissection meetings, please.
See, my son will make a perfect husband.
Do you plan to find him a place at the royal court?
I don't think so. Ordinary people are more convenient. There's no need to worry about results. When people of rank are ill, they expect their doctors to cure them.
Outrageous! You're not there to cure them. You're there to prescribe remedies and collect fees.
How about some music, Angelique? Would you just sing for us?
I brought the score of an operetta. We can sing it together. Angelique, here is your part.
But I've never practiced it.
Here's the plot. A shepherd meets a beautiful young shepherdess, and they fall in love. But her father has promised her to another man. The shepherd is forbidden to see her, but he enters her house in disguise. He meets his unworthy rival. Driven to despair, he sings a song to his beloved, asking if she still loves him.
Here's my part. The shepherdess answers, I am yours from now to the end of time.
What does the father have to say about this?
Nothing.
An operetta like that is in very bad taste. Goodbye, sir. We could have done very well without your performance. Oh, here comes my wife. Darling, this is Thomas DeForius.
Madam, it is with justice that heaven has given you the title of stepmother. We see in you steps.
Believe, pleased to meet you.
We see in you, we see in you. You interrupted me, I lost my place.
Madam, it's too bad you missed the second father and the flower called heliotrope.
Come on, Angelique, shake hands with the gentleman and give him your promise.
Please, Father, give us some time to get to know each other, please, Father.
My heart is yours. I see no need to wait.
I'm afraid I'm not as quick as you are. Your merits still haven't made an impression on me.
Plenty of time for impressions after you're married.
Marriage should never be imposed by force.
In my day, daughters obeyed their parents.
Even a daughter's duty has its limits.
Please excuse my daughter's rude behavior.
I want to marry for love. Some girls get to get away from their parents, and some marry for money to get rich when their husbands die.
I wonder what you're trying to tell us.
I've said what I have to say. I'm leaving.
Listen to me. Either you marry this gentleman or you go into the convent. I give you 4 days to decide.
Oh, if I didn't have 4 days, I'd go into the convent, but my decision is made. Goodbye.
I have to leave, too. I have some business in town. I won't be long.
Tell the notary to be quick about you know what.
We must be going, too.
Before you go, tell me how I am.
Let me check your pulse. Thomas, you take the other arm.
He has the pulse of a man who is not well.
Doc, right.
Irregular.
Very, very good.
Caused by an intemperance in the spleen.
That can't be. Dr. Pagon says it's my liver.
Spleen, liver, it's all the same. No doubt he orders you to eat plenty of roast meat.
Never. He ordered me to eat boiled meat every day.
Roast, boiled, it's the same thing.
How many grains of salt should I put on my egg?
6, 8, or 10. It goes by even numbers.
Goodbye, sir. I hope to see you again soon. Music?
My stepmama sent me to tell you something.
She did? What do you have to say for yourself?
I could tell you the fable of the fox and the crow.
That's not why your stepmama sent you, is it?
No, I guess not.
Haven't I asked you to tell me everything unusual that you see?
Yes, Papa.
Have you done it?
Always, Papa.
Did you see anything unusual today?
No, Papa.
You're sure?
Quite sure.
Indeed. Think very hard.
Angelique made me promise not to say anything.
I'll forgive you this time, but you better tell me what you saw.
A young man came into Angelique's sitting room when I was there. He said he was her music teacher.
I see. And then?
Then Angelique came in. She said to him, "Go away! You'll drive me to despair!" But he wouldn't go away.
What did he say to her?
He told her he loved her. He said she was the most beautiful girl in the world.
And then?
Then she
Then he knelt down. He kept kissing her hands. Then my stepmama came to the door, and he ran away.
Nothing else?
No, Papa.
Go away now, and pay attention to what you saw, what you see. Ah, children are nothing but trouble. I don't even have time to attend to my illness. Very bad. No one believes how feeble I am.
I came to propose a match for my niece, Angelique.
Don't talk to me about that wicked girl.
Well, you have some strength left after all. My visit does you good. Why do you want her to marry this doctor?
I am the master of my family. I can do what I see fit. I want a son-in-law who will suit my needs.
But I have a more suitable match for her.
This match is more suitable for me.
Why are you so infatuated with doctors and so determined to be ill?
What do you mean by that, brother?
I know of no man less sick than you are. Only a robust constitution could survive all the pills and potions you've swallowed.
Dr. Pergone says I'd be dead in 3 days without his medicines.
He'll take such good care of you, he'll send you to the next world.
Don't you believe in medicine?
I can't think of anything more ridiculous than a man who claims he can cure someone else. The springs of our machines are mysterious, and we humans know almost nothing about them.
Then according to you, the doctors know nothing.
Most of them know the classics, can talk Latin, can name diseases. But as to curing those diseases, it's out of the question.
Still, brother, when we're ill, it's the doctors we turn to.
That's more to do with our desperation than their skill.
What are we to do when we're ill?
Rest and let nature do its work.
But surely nature can help. But surely we can help nature along.
We deceive ourselves. But to change the subject, think of Angelique. Her whole happiness depends on you.
Excuse me, brother, my druggist is here to give me a purgative.
Can't you spend one moment without purgatives and physic? Put it off to later.
Mr. Fleurant, let it be for tonight or tomorrow morning.
How dare you oppose the doctor's prescription? I will tell Dr. Pergone that you refuse to let out his orders. You'll see, you'll see.
Brother, you'll be the death of me.
What a misfortune not to take a purgative. Can't you be cured of this doctor disease?
It's easy to speak against medicine when you're in perfect health.
I've just heard some troubling news downstairs. You laugh at my prescription? You refuse to take the remedy I ordered?
Sir, it wasn't me.
Who ever heard of a patient rebelling against his doctor?
It's frightful.
A prescription I invented myself.
He was very wrong.
It was to have a marvelous effect on the intestines.
It was my brother's fault.
To send it back in contempt?
I tried to tell him.
It's high treason against the medical profession. I'll have nothing more to do with you.
A wise decision.
And here's the check I made out to my nephew for his marriage to your daughter. I tear it to pieces.
My brother made me.
Since you've declared yourself a rebel against my remedies, I must give you up to your constitution.
Please, no.
In 4 days, you will be incurable.
Have mercy.
You shall fall into bradypepsia.
No!
From bradypepsia into dyspepsia.
Oh, Dr. Pagone.
From dyspepsia into a Pepsi. From a Pepsi into the enteri. From the enteri into dysentery. From dysentery into dropsy. And from dropsy, your folly will bring you to the end of life itself.
I am dead, brother. You have undone me.
Why? What's the matter with you?
You heard him name all the diseases I'm going to get?
What difference does it make what he says? Dr. Burgon's wrath can't kill you any more than his remedies can keep you alive. This is a chance for you to get rid of your doctors. If you find you can't do without them, you can always get a new one.
But no one knows my illnesses the way Dr. Burgon does.
There is a doctor here, sir, who wants to see you.
Who is he?
I don't know, but he and I are as alike as two peas. If I didn't know better, I'd swear he was my twin brother.
See? One doctor leaves and another one turns up to replace him.
I'm so worried about all those new diseases.
Allow me, sir, to offer my service. After my treatments, you'll never wish to see another doctor again.
I'm much obliged to you, sir. You do look very much like my servant Toinette.
The resemblance is uncanny, but I've seen this kind of thing before.
It's an honor to see such an illustrious patient. Your case is famous throughout the land.
Your words gladden my heart.
How old do you think I am?
26, 27.
Ha! I am 90 years old.
90?
The secret of my art has kept me fresh and vigorous.
My word, you are fine, youthful old fellow.
I go from town to town, province to province, kingdom to kingdom, seeing patients worthy of my attention. I only treat important diseases. Good, non-intermittent fevers with delirium, good plagues, good confirmed dropsies, good pleurisies with inflammations of the lungs. I wish you had them all. I wish you'd been given up as hopeless so I could show you the excellence of my remedies.
Thank you for your kind attentions.
Who is your doctor?
Dr. Pagone.
What does he say you have?
He says it's the liver, and others say it's the spleen.
They're all a pack of blockheads. You are suffering from the lungs.
The lungs?
What are your symptoms?
From time to time, I have pains in my head.
The lungs.
At times, it seems as if I had a mist before my eyes.
The lungs.
I feel queasy now and then.
The lungs. Do you feel sleepy after meals and enjoy a nap?
Yes, sir.
The lungs, I tell you. What does your doctor order you to eat?
He orders me to have soup.
Ignoramus.
Boiled meat.
Folly. To thicken your blood, you must eat good fat beef, good fat pork, Dutch cheese, rich puddings, chestnuts, and cake. Your doctor does you more harm than good.
I'm much obliged to you.
What do you need this left arm for?
What?
If I were you, I'd have it cut off.
Why?
It attracts all the nourishment and keeps your left side from thriving.
Maybe, but I need my arm.
You also have a right leg that I'd remove if I were in your place.
My right leg?
It interferes with the left one, throwing your blood out of balance. You should take care of it right away.
There's no need to hurry.
Well, give it some thought. I'm off to another consultation.
Goodbye.
This new doctor is very clever.
Yes, but he goes a little too far. Cut off my arm and leg so the rest of my body might be better? My body is good enough as it is.
I'm happy to hear you say so. Now let's talk about the match you planned for my niece.
There's some love business behind her refusal. There was a secret meeting she doesn't think I know about.
Suppose she does have an inclination towards someone. Would it be criminal if it ended in an honorable marriage?
She will be a nun. I've made up my mind.
It's all your wife's idea.
You're always complaining about my wife.
I can't bear your infatuation with your wife any more than your infatuation with doctors. You run headlong into every snare she sets for you.
Don't dare speak of my mistress that way. She's a woman without deceit, and she loves my master very much.
She lavishes endearments upon me. My sickness causes her endless worry.
Master, let's show your brother that he's mistaken.
How?
Stretch out in your armchair and pretend to be dead. You'll see how your wife grieves when I tell her of the news. Your brother must hide in the corner and watch.
All right, I'll do it.
Shh. Here comes my mistress now. Don't move. Oh, heavens. What a misfortune.
What's the matter, Toinette?
Oh, madam.
What's wrong?
Your husband is dead.
Dead?
The poor soul is gone.
Are you sure?
Nobody knows yet. He breathed his last in my arms. Look at him.
Heaven be praised. I'm free. How silly of you, Toinette, to be so upset.
Well, I thought I ought to cry.
Nonsense. He isn't worth the trouble. What good did he ever do? Always sniveling, coughing, spitting. He was a tedious, ill-natured fellow, wearing people out with his scolding.
What a funeral oration.
You have to help me. Since nobody knows, let's put him into his bed and keep the secret for a while. There are some papers and some money I must get hold of. I gave him the best years of my life. I deserve a reward.
What do you think you're doing?
Oh, no.
So, this is how you love me.
Ah, the dead man is not dead.
This is a good warning which will make me wise for the future.
Well, brother, now you see. Look how she runs away.
I hear your daughter coming. Get back in your chair. Let's see how she takes the news. You may as well know how she feels about you, too.
Oh, heavens! What an unhappy day!
What's wrong, Toinette?
I have sad news for you. Your father is dead.
Oh, my father is dead, Toinette?
Just look at him. He died of a fainting fit.
Oh, no! This is terrible! Why I lose my father, the only being left me in the... Why must I lose him at a time when he was angry with me? What will become of me?
What's the matter? Dear Angelique, why are you crying?
I weep for the death of my father, who was most dear and precious to me.
What a misfortune. I was coming to see him. I hoped I could win him over by telling him how much I love you.
Oh, Cleante, let's not talk of marriage anymore. My father is dead. I will renounce the world forever. Dear father, I resisted your will, but I will follow your last wish.
Ah, my dear daughter.
How can this be?
Don't be afraid. I'm not dead. And I'm delighted to discover your good heart.
Oh, what a relief. Father, since heaven has given you back to us, let me ask one favor of you. If you won't let me marry Cleante, please don't make me marry anyone else.
Please, sir, don't oppose our love.
How can you resist them?
Will you remain cold before such devotion?
If you'll become a doctor, I'll consent to the marriage.
Gladly, sir, for the hand of Angelique. I'll be a druggist, too, if that will help.
But, brother, why don't you just become a doctor yourself?
Yes, that's the way to cure yourself. No disease dares attack a doctor.
You're laughing at me. How can I study at my age?
Study? What for? You're as clever as any doctor out there.
But a doctor has to speak Latin and know all the different diseases and their remedies.
It will all come to you when you put on the cap and gown. Shall we have the ceremony?
Now?
Right here.
In my house?
A group of physicians, friends of mine, will perform the ceremony in your hall.
What do I have to say?
Don't worry. They'll write it all out for you. Get dressed and I'll send for them.
All right. Go ahead. Music?
Thank you.
invested in me today by the most august College of Physicians, I confer upon you the honored title of Doctor of Medicine.
The physicians have given you a scroll. What does it say?
I don't know. Is it Latin?
You can read it. Just try.
Harum, scarum, totum, fatum. Possessum, decorum, magnus, opus. Halitosis, thesaurus, brontosaurus. Aurora borealis, tumultuous, simultaneous. Thank you.